Good morning, everyone. I'm Sapna Mysore, and I'm from the Asian and Pacific Islander Wellness Center in San Francisco. And today I'm going to be talking about using social media for to decrease HIV-related stigma in API communities. And I have no relationships to disclose. So just to give you a quick overview of APIs in the U.S., I'm sure many of you know all of this, but according to the 2010 census, there are 18.5 million APIs in the U.S., and we're the fastest growing ethnic group, 43% Asians and 34% of Native Hawaiian Pacific Islanders. And an interesting statistic that I found was that 80% of Asians living in a household with internet use, and this is the highest rate among race and other race and ethnic groups. And since we're talking about HIV, I need to give you some background on that as well. So there are more than a million people living with HIV in the U.S., and about 1% of those cases are Asian and Pacific Islander. And so that seems like, you know, we're not carrying a large burden of HIV, but we do have the highest rates of increase in new HIV infections. So that means although our numbers are low now, they are increasing, and that's why this is a problem. So there are APIs show the lowest testing rates for HIV of any race or ethnic group. So if you look at the graphic, two-thirds, 66% of all Asians have never been tested for HIV, and it's about the same for Native Hawaiian and Pacific Islanders. So this is an issue. So there are a lot of APIs who are at risk for HIV but aren't actually getting tested, so they don't know, which we also have estimates that one out of three APIs who do have HIV don't know it because they've never gotten a test. And what happens when you don't get a test or when you test really late is that disease progression happens really fast. So it's more likely for APIs who get tested, who test positive for HIV, to get an AIDS diagnosis within a year of that positive HIV test, which is not the norm anymore. For those of you who aren't working in HIV, if you get an HIV test and get into treatment early, it's very likely that you will not progress to AIDS for a long time. So while I go through this presentation, if I use acronyms that any of you are unfamiliar with, please let me know, because I think, as we all know, in public health, acronyms are tossed around. So the key issue that we are trying to address is stigma, and Isha just talked a lot about what stigma is, so I'm not going to go into that. But with HIV and AIDS, you can see that stigma leads to discrimination, silence, and ignorance, misinformation, and fear. And it's a vicious cycle that I'm sure many of you have seen in your communities, your families. Especially poignant is that in API communities, it's a very communalistic, most of our cultures are very communalistic, where we put the family or the community ahead of the individual. And so any shame that comes with being HIV positive or being gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, those types of things lead us to silence. And in general, culturally, we have taboos against talking about sex, and therefore sexual health and how to prevent HIV and other STDs. So the Banyan Tree Project, which I'll refer to as BTP, is an anti-stigma campaign that was funded by, that was first funded by the CDC in 2004. So we've had 7 years of Banyan Tree Project now. And the first five cycles, just to let you know, were really broad. We have a very broad community target. We're trying to reach all Asian and Pacific Islanders, and that's extremely difficult because we make up 40 distinct ethnic groups and over 100 languages or dialects. Some other challenges that we had in implementing this anti-stigma campaign, which is a national social marketing campaign, are that levels of community readiness to address HIV are low. Does anyone know what community readiness is or what it refers to? Okay, yeah. Me, do you want to? I'm making this interactive, so I'm going to be asking questions.
And it's kind of like with individual readiness to change, so are they ready to take action to change their situation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's basically a measure of, are communities actually ready to address HIV? Are they ready to address stigma? Are they ready to accept people living with HIV and all of the other people with substance use and mental health? And those are all things related to HIV and stigma. And so the levels of community readiness are low. Another problem with our campaign was that slogans changed on an annual basis, so it was hard to create any kind of lasting slogan in somebody's head. And we've always focused on developing a public service announcement and using traditional methods of distribution for that PSA, meaning using the media and trying to get it placed on TV, mostly pro bono. And finally, stigma itself is a really difficult subject to unpack into one message for a PSA, because you have internalized stigma, you have community-level stigma, family stigma, I mean, the list goes on. So what do you actually want to focus on when you're trying to do a national social marketing campaign? So in our second round of funding, we decided on a new strategy. So we actually did a lot of audience segmentation. We decided to target very specific parts of the API population. So the first year in 2010, we targeted specifically young men who have sex with men. In 2011, this past year, we targeted young Asian and Pacific Islander heterosexual women. We decided we wanted a consistent slogan to reinforce our branding. So now if you hear our Banyan Tree PSA or you see our posters, it's "Saving Face Can't Make You Safe." We picked Saving Face because it's a concept that resonates with a lot of AMPI cultures, around not talking about things because you don't want to shame or dishonor your community or family or yourself. Well, this slide got messed up. But what I really want to talk about today is actually the second two bullets is tailoring the distribution to the target population and using various engagement mechanisms. We found that we couldn't just rely on those traditional methods of distribution because our PSA, we were trying to get it placed on TV for free, which means it usually showed up on some random cable channel at 2 a.m. in the morning when most of our target population was not watching. We were able to get it placed in certain ethnic media regionally, but our PSA was still in English, and we hadn't had it translated, so it didn't necessarily work with putting it on a Filipino or Chinese station. So this is what our new strategy was. All of our information is concentrated on our project website, BanyanTreeProject.org. And so we wanted, and why does it keep moving? We wanted to be able to use all of these different methods of dissemination and engagement to direct traffic to our website. So we had our traditional media, which was a broadcast and print, and then we decided most of our target population, at least the youth that we were working with, are on social networks and media. They visit blogs, and they're basically online. How many of you get most of your information online? Okay, so we had, you know, it was critical that we were online as well, and it was also more cost effective in many ways. So I'm going to give you just some numbers of how our PSA, the impact of it, using the traditional methods of putting it on TV and radio, and then we'll go into the social media piece. These are different different stations that carried our PSA in 2010. And we had a household reach of 44 million in 2010, and this year it was 42 million because we had less stations picking up this year's PSA. And so household reach is just the number of televisions or households that actually get a certain channel. The number of impressions is actually lower because that's the number of TVs that were actually tuned into that channel at any given point. So I'm not an expert on media. We have a communications manager and a media coordinator who actually provide me with all these numbers. But if you do have questions later, I can try to get them answered. Okay. So how many of you actually use social media in your lives? Okay, almost everyone. How many of you use social media for your work, your programs? Okay. So right now, if you all want to take out your phones and tweet about how amazing this session is, I totally won't be offended, and I think you should. But so here, let me just go into some best practices that we've learned over the few years we've been using social media, is that it's a team effort. So if you're going to start using this, if you're going to start using social media at work, which I highly suggest that you do, even if it's just to market your services, even if you're not trying to reach any particular target population, it's a team effort. Our team at work includes people from across the agency. It includes staff who are actually going to be admins for social media, and it also includes our communications team and some of our senior level staff. And that's because social media isn't just something you do. It's not just you get on Facebook or Twitter and you start posting things. You actually have to develop a strategy for both the organization and for individual programs. You need to identify staff to serve as social media admins. This means who's going to be managing your Facebook page and your Twitter account. How if they're on vacation, who's the backup? Who's going to be posting stuff? You also have to develop protocols. What is all right to post on your Facebook page? What's postable, what's not? What kinds of information do you actually want to get out there? Also for troubleshooting as well, because we've definitely had instances of we've put our PSA up on YouTube, and I'll get into that, but we've had people comment negatively on our PSA. And so what do you do in that case? How do you handle controversy in some cases? So we moved our PSA online, and so here's just a snapshot of some of the lifetime views. We primarily we did this through YouTube. We have a YouTube page, our organization, and we post all our PSAs and videos up there. We also ask other organizations to embed the YouTube video onto their websites or share it through their Facebook page. So we had a slight drop in PSA views over from 2010 to 2011, and it's partly attributed just to the difference in target audiences, because in 2010, we targeted young gay men, and in 2011 we targeted young straight women, very different audience. So here's just a summary of some of the websites that carried our PSA, meaning they embedded our PSA onto their website or their blog. So lifetime views on YouTube, we have about 7,500 in 2010 and about 2,300 so far in 2011. And we have 3 months to go, or 2 months to go, so maybe all of you will go online, go to YouTube, and increase it by 20. Facebook and Twitter. So increasingly, we have acquired fans, and that's usually how we measure our popularity on Facebook. On Twitter, we have about 420 followers. So most of our Facebook fans were actually gained through current friends within our own personal networks, but we're seeing an increase in non-friend-related fans, so people who are just finding our Facebook page somehow, either through our website or through clicking on the PSA through YouTube. So we're able to put, and we're also posting some content from our organization's website to increase reach. Our Twitter account is linked to our Facebook account, so we don't have to retweet stuff. Everything that goes from that we post on Facebook is automatically propagated to our Twitter account. So tips on using social media. If you're not using it, you need to start. That's the first tip. Organizations should be a Facebook page, not a person or group. Okay. Best practices are usually there's a minimum of 3 posts a day. If you don't have the time to do that every day, you can use a service like Hootsuite to line up posts beforehand. So typically our media and communications coordinator, if he's going to be gone for an all-day meeting, he'll line up posts the day before so that it'll just be, it'll go out on Facebook at a certain time the next day. You should like other organizations that do similar work. And this also helps with the next tip, which is curate. If you have nothing to post, either repost stuff from back in the day, or take posts or news from other relevant sources, like the other organizations you work with, and repost and share. Link your Twitter account to Facebook. And remember that in larger organizations, you'll probably have your organizational Facebook page, but you'll also have pages for your own separate programs. The organizational page should serve as an umbrella for all program pages. So anyone who is an admin on the anyone who's an admin at the program level should be an admin at the organizational level. And everything should be linked. Anything that's posted on a program page should be posted on the organizational page. Okay, not necessarily vice versa. So like I said, what our goal is to have everything serve, going back to our Banyan Tree Project website, which is where we have our fact sheets and all of the information. So we actually have this is just a list of the number of new visitors, and the percentage of new visitors. This is just one way to measure web traffic. There's also, if you notice this column, pages per visit consumed, so that's more depth of visit. It's one thing to track just people coming to your website, but what are they actually looking at? Are they looking at more than one page? Because sometimes people just get to the landing page and then leave. So that will also give you more information about how to structure your website. So measuring social media, what information do you need and what can you actually get? Facebook has embedded within the program has a thing called Insights where you can get the number of fans and interactions. Has anyone ever used Insights for their, okay. So websites, you can typically use Google Analytics, and they're a little bit more robust in terms of metrics. So you can get number of visits, depth of visits, so views, like which pages they visited, how many pages they visited, how they came into your website, number, and your top referrers. So our website, actually, we got a lot of referrals from Hulu, because Hulu picked up our PSA in 2010. And we also, and Facebook, our Facebook page is actually in our top 5 refers to our website. And YouTube is very similar to Google Analytics. So some of the limitations for Banyan Tree Project is, what about the populations, the API populations that aren't online? This could be immigrant populations, it could be older generations. How do we reach them? We still have to use traditional methods and use ethnic media. And we also have to translate more of our online products, which is something we're working on this year. And they're just the normal structural barriers. You know, there's a continued lack of perceived risk for HIV of APIs. Access to testing and care, though, there's very few API culturally competent HIV services in many of our cities. There's provider bias. We have a lot of stories about APIs going to the doctor, and even if they ask for an HIV test, you know, their provider will be like, no, you're low risk, based on an assumption about APIs being low risk. And then there's just, in general, a lack of data, surveillance data, at both the federal and local levels. So it's hard to really pinpoint how HIV does impact our communities. So lessons learned and learning. Using social networking media effectively takes planning and it takes time. So you really have to know what your end goal if you're planning to use this at a program level. Creating online and virtual partnerships with blogs and other organizations requires a certain amount of skill and effort. As you all know, technology changes quickly, so it may require an investment, whether it's training or actual, you know, computers, iPads. And then evaluating social media is still new. So you can use those things like those metrics that I put up, but long-term impact is still, people are still doing research on that. And then how does social network theory work in virtual spaces? What research is out there? Those are all still questions we're trying to figure out as well. So, yeah, so this is just a little bit about API Wellness Center and our website. So go to our website and go to our Facebook page and be a fan. Thank you.